It was just 10 short episodes ago that we had the opportunity to meet Ronnie Moas of Standpoint Research. With one of the best track records in the investing space, episode number 60 educated, inspired, and entertained us and our listeners, becoming one of the most listened to episodes. We're glad to say Ronnie was gracious enough to come back to the show for his latest thoughts on Bitcoin, Ripple, the altcoin bull run, and the future of cryptocurrency. While Travis and I were at home for this interview, Ronnie was on the other side of the world. I guess that's why he's a real futurist and we're just plain bad. Regardless, we're pleased to bring Ronnie back for round number two, and you are going to enjoy learning from him once again in the Ronnie's Back in Town episode number 70 of the Bad Crypto Podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition. Who's bad?
This is Jeremy Avan from Birmingham, Alabama. You're listening to the Bad Crypto Podcast. Stay bad.
Ronnie's back in town. Ronnie's back in town.
Oh, yeah, boy. Little Thin Lizzy reference there for you 70s classic rockers.
Very nice. Yes, this is a great treat. So if you guys have listened to episode 60, as Joel had mentioned in the intro teaser, that is one of our most highly rated and most listened to shows out of all of them. You know what? We have brought him back. Everyone loves Ronnie. And so Ronnie is not, he's definitely a friend of the show, maybe even a bad crypto correspondent. I mean, he's in it now.
We should hashtag that. Everybody loves Ronnie. He can have his own show. Actually, I think what we should do is put the guests from the three top shows and have a cage match. Brad Garlinghouse, Ronnie Moas, and James Altucher, and let them fight it out.
On pay-per-view, which you can only buy with Bitcoin.
Bad coin.
Yeah, bad coin. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the Bad Crypto Podcast. I'm Joel Kamm. He's Travis Wright. And our show sponsor for this month is the Zilla app. You've heard about it. It's an ICO marketplace app. And if you go to zla.io/bad, you can see the screenshots and functionality of the beta app, which should be in the Apple App Store in just a few days. And so maybe even by now, I don't know, go check it out and let us know. And this is going to let you upvote, downvote on various ICOs and then participate. We're allowed by law with tokens and a credit card with one tappity tappity tap. So check it out. zla.io/bad is the URL that will take you there, Mr. Travis Wright. Hey, Travis.
Tap, tap it in. Tappity tap. Tap, tap.
Shall we play a game?
Oh, my goodness. So we have the best community, you guys. We love you folks. And Joel and I, we're jokers. We like to crack jokes. That's no surprise to anyone who's listening to the show. But what's happened is we have some fans that are pretty hilarious and creative as well. And we've had some interesting, delightful stuff pop up here in the past couple of days. I'm Mr. Joel Kamm.
Absolutely. In fact, in the Bad Crypto Mastermind, which each and every one of you should be in, by the way, with the, 1.2 million downloads we've had, there's only 3,700 of you in the Mastermind group, badco.in/mastermind. It's one of the most productive and engaging groups I've been in on Facebook.
Mr. Joel Kamm, 1.5 million downloads. You shorted us 300.
Man, we're approaching. So we're going to pass 2 million really soon. The things are just ramping up. Thanks to all of you. Well, one of our members, Tor Lindqvist, I think I pronounced that right.
Lindqvist
has created a bad crypto bingo card that you can print out and fill in while listening to the show. And he took the 25 bingo squares and he just filled them in with things that we may say from time to time, and you can check them off. Like, what are some of the things that are on the squares that you can play bingo with, Travis?
Well, we are not financial advisors, you know, Joel. And in my opinion, that one probably should be the center because that's like a free space. We say that every episode.
Well, that is said all the time. Then there's Joel wants to put the kibosh on something.
So I love that. You've said that about seven different times. It's not every episode that has happened, but you have said that. Or when we speak in Russian accents, specifically you, or put another prawn on the Bobby. So fun.
Or when I remind Travis that you lost your crypto kitties.
Yep. Or you remind me that I lost the 55 Bitcoins. Or you remind me that I've been hacked.
All the stuff you lose.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for reminding me, because nobody loves a heart-wrenching story that gets twisted and turned more than me. I mean, I just love it.
So anyway, if you want the shortcut to this, it's badco.in/bingo, but we'll also put this into the show notes on the website at badcryptopodcast.com. Otherwise, badco.in/070 will be the destination for this particular episode. And who knows, maybe if Bad CryptoCon 2018 happens, we could play Bad Crypto Bingo at the event.
That would be hilarious, because especially if we added a few more of these things that we say, you know, different comments that we say, because I know that sometimes I will start answering a question by saying absolutely. So that, I think I probably said absolutely on many, many different podcasts. So that's like almost a free one as well. We can like mix all these around and like make some random ones. Maybe even how hilarious would it be to have someone make an app of this? Literally, when you listen to each episode, oh, here we go, bingo, and you earn some bad coin or something. But just a reminder, use 2FA.
Absolutely.
that's another one as well on the card. Lambos to the moon.
Please do use the 2FA when you're buying your Lambo. Speaking of bad coin, TikTok, time is running out. January 18th is the last day that you can request your free bad coin. And there's only two places to do it. Sometimes you guys are posting in the Telegram group and asking, hey, I want some bad coin. You post your bit shares there. Other time, you're making new posts in the mastermind. And that's not how you do it. There is a pinned post on both the Facebook page and in the mastermind group. Go to the pinned post, and that's where you request your free bad coin. And then we're going to close it off at midnight on January 18th, whatever time zone we decide that is. You will not be able to request free bad coin anymore. So,
and why is that, Mr. Tokong? Why is that? Why?
That is the 6-month anniversary from the date we released the first episode. And that's it. That'll be no more. Now, we still might give them out, you know, indiscriminately to people. For example, we did give Tor, who created Bad Crypto Bingo, some bad coin, because he earned, you know, not that you can earn it because it's worthless, but his community-oriented actions made our hearts open up and bad coin poured out of our hearts.
Yeah, like just the other day, someone was on the Facebook Mastermind group, I believe, and I might have already mentioned this on another episode, but it was just so funny to me how they mapped out and parodied the whole Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but made it bad crypto style. And that to me was like super creative, over the top. So instead of giving that person, you know, 50,000 or 100,000 or whatever it was, I hooked that person up with like a million or a million and a half, because that was over the top creative. They spent time and it was hilarious. It amused me. I was like, that is awesome. That was so hilarious. Here's some bad coin for your efforts. So
a little Fresh Prince action. You know, Will Smith told his folks about Bitcoin.
Bad crypto?
Oh. Yeah, but you know, parents just don't understand.
That's true. That's true. He's like, you really need to listen to the Bad Crypto Podcast, parents, if you want to, you know,
they just
get really rolling.
Get it. Well, this episode is going to be, we're done just babbling, which, you know, for those of you that are like, stop with the stupid jokes, we're going to stop, because Ronnie Moas is in the house from the other side of the world, and we had a great conversation with him. In fact, he just messaged me on Facebook. He says, that was great. We did 45 minutes and didn't really repeat anything from the last show. So new content coming at you. The audio is not the best because he's in New Zealand and we use Skype to record it, but I think you're really going to enjoy it. So let's go to the feature. And we are pleased to have back with us on the Bad Crypto Podcast someone who's become a great friend of the show, incredibly knowledgeable in the investing and the crypto space. He is the founder of Standpoint Research, and he was the special guest in episode number 60, which has gone on to be one of our top most listened to podcasts. You know him, you love him. His name is Ronnie Moas. Ronnie, welcome back to the Bad Crypto Podcast.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, and you're on the other side of the world. We're recording this. It's midday here in the United States on Sunday as we're recording this, but you're in the future in New Zealand, is that right, where it's Monday?
Yeah, we are 18 hours ahead of New York, and I was actually one of the first people in the world to celebrate New Year's Eve a week ago. I was in flight from Los Angeles to Fiji, and we crossed the international dateline. The cabin crew woke everybody up at 2 minutes to midnight, and 5 minutes after midnight, they put the lights back off and everyone went back to sleep.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, Happy New Year, and in hopes that 2018 will be incredible, not just for the crypto world and for you, but I want to start by talking about and finding out where your cause is at. Those of you may remember that Ronnie is a great philanthropist and a huge proponent of feeding the world through Food for the Poor. And you might remember the URL is foodforthepoor.org/MOAS, M-O-A-S. Ronnie, we had such an incredible outpouring of supporters of the Republic of Bad Cryptopia donating to Food for the Poor. Tell us how that's going.
Well, first of all, I need to ask you one question. Do you have any idea how many people listen to that so far?
I can tell you. Go ahead and share some more and we can look up the numbers here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember what the exact number was, but we got a couple of hundred donations from you, which was amazing. I think probably $30,000 or $40,000 came in from your listeners.
Oh, wow.
The problem is we have to read the Riot Act to the 95% who did not donate.
Well, go ahead and read it to him, Ronnie. You let him have it.
I'll let you do that. Seriously, if everybody had done what the other 5% did do, we could have raised more than $500,000. And I want to remind people who did not donate that $200 donation pays for 800 pounds of rice and beans. And that feeds 4 starving children for an entire year. So what you spent on iPhone 10, you could have saved the lives of 4 people with that money. Apple already knows what will be an iPhone 15. But these naive consumers are going to buy iPhone number 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 along the way. Why should they sell you one iPhone when they can sell you 5? So my whole point is people spend a lot of money in this country on things that they don't need when they could be saving the lives of children who are starving to death.
Ronnie, we had about 35,000 downloads to that episode so far in the ballpark.
Yeah, 35,000. So I would say about 5% ended up donating.
That is incredible.
I'm sorry. Actually, it would be a half of 1%. We had a couple of hundred donations come in from you. So it was actually less than 1%, unfortunately. And it's an amazing, amount of money that we raise. But it's disappointing that a lot of people ignored your request because it was something that could have changed the lives of many people. And hopefully people will reconsider the second time around.
Absolutely. And what is that URL again?
foodforthepoor.org/my-last-name. M like Mary, O-A-S like Susan. foodforthepoor.org/MOAS. It's a 5-star charity. It was established in 1982. Last year, we distributed more than $1 billion in humanitarian aid to 18 Caribbean and Latin American countries. Administrative expenses were less than 5%. And we recently added Puerto Rico to the list after the hurricane that caused so much damage down there.
That is excellent. Well, great stuff. So we will make a note of that, and our fans are more than likely willing to give. We've had a lot of success with our fans helping out and doing good stuff. We want to mention you are actually right now you are on the other side of the world right now. So how's the crypto market going to do tomorrow?
It's Monday morning in New Zealand right now, but I can't tell you what the price of Bitcoin will be on Monday, New York time.
Well, we've been following your tweets a lot, and you know, you've been talking a lot about a lot of different things, and you've been mentioning a lot about diversification, and we've been experiencing this really interesting time in crypto from Joel and I's perspective, where the price of Bitcoin has been relatively sort of steady, where it's been kind of hanging out. Now it's actually, you know, it's been popping up around 17 and 16 and down to 13, but it's been hanging out in that little area. But the, you know, a lot of the rest of the market's been going on some pretty interesting runs. And so wanted to get your perspective on that diversification strategy and what you think about that.
Well, Bitcoin topped out at $20,000 last month. And the crypto market cap at the time topped out at $600 billion around that time. And Bitcoin had around 60% market share. Now, if you fast forward to today, the crypto market cap is now above $800 billion, even though Bitcoin has pulled back by 20% off its high. So you had a big rotation out of Bitcoin and into the other names in the top 20. And it's been quite an impressive rotation. I think Bitcoin market share dropped from 61 or 62% down to 34, 35%. Since it topped out a few weeks back. And I've been telling people all along that you want to be diversified because there is no guarantee that Bitcoin will lead or even participate in the move to $4 trillion, which is, I think, where crypto market cap will be in the next few years.
Next few years or the end of this year?
No. Well, right now we're at $800 billion. And I think we could hit $4 trillion within the next few years, which would be, you know, five times where we are today. And it would put Bitcoin somewhere around $75,000 to $100,000.
You know, it seems like the market cap has been adding $25 billion or so almost weekly. So are you saying that this bull run we've been in on all the altcoins, is this going to come to a screeching halt as things stabilize and slow? Or do you see this move, especially, you know, these altcoins that have popped out of nowhere, like, you know, Tron seizing the number 10 space from 0.002 cents to now 15 from a high of 22. And some of these other blockchain platforms like Dragon Chain and EOS and Cardano really picking up a lot of steam. What's going to happen here?
Well, the problem with altcoins is that a few months ago, you needed a $300 million valuation and you would be in the top 20. Today, you need a market valuation of at least $2 billion to be in the top 20. And that is disturbing to me. I don't believe there are 20 names in crypto right now that deserve multi-billion dollar valuations, and some people are going to get burned really badly if they are running concentrated portfolios that are focused on a few of those speculative names that have come out of nowhere. Some of them may be there for a good reason. Some of them are just being pumped and they will be dumped. And people have to be really careful. I tried to pick a top on this rotation out of Bitcoin. I think it was January 2nd, if I'm not mistaken, I put out a tweet and I said that I think that this shift of $100 billion out of Bitcoin and into the altcoins, I think that trade is you know, getting a little bit mature. And I think Bitcoin was trading at 13,800 at the time. And then we ran up to 17,000 within a couple of days from the time I put that tweet out. So I think you may be seeing the beginning of the end in the near term of this love fest with the altcoins.
It seems to me that when we're looking at this market, sometimes, I mean, how you just mentioned how we went from $600 billion to now $820 billion. So $220 billion is now in the market that was not in the market, but it didn't go into Bitcoin. A lot of it went into some of these other ones, like you just mentioned, Ripple being one. Ripple took off, you know, Stellar Lumens took off. Litecoin really hasn't. Ethereum has gone over 1,100. And do you think it's some of this institutional money? And do you think that the fluctuations of this market have anything to do with the futures market? Do you think that the new futures market has then sort of maybe placed a lid on the growth of, or just the crazy growth that Bitcoin was experiencing before?
I'm not really analyzing what is going on in the futures market any more than I analyzed the short sellers that were trying to knock Amazon out in the last 15 years. And by the way, Amazon went from $20 to $1,100 during that time. So all that is noise as far as I'm concerned. I'm not paying too much attention on it. I'm keeping my eyes on the prize, and that is $50,000 to $100,000 on Bitcoin in the next few years. People need to understand everything that I learned in my 20 years in the stock market prepared me for what we are seeing today, and it has put me in a unique position to give advice on how to play these movements. What we are seeing right now in the stock market is called sector rotation. So, for example, when the oil price crashed a few years ago, you would have institutional money pouring out of the energy sector and into the other sectors, right? Now you're seeing the opposite. The oil price has finally recovered. It's back up above $60, and you're seeing a rotation out of the other sectors and money going back into the energy sector. What you have in crypto is the same thing. You had money recently pouring out of Bitcoin. People were trying to come up with money so that they could buy Cardano and Stellar and Ripple and Ethereum, right? And one day that trade is going to end, and then people are going to cash out, and guess where the money will go back into? It will be a flight to quality, and the money will go back into Bitcoin. And I think we started seeing a little bit of that in the last 4 or 5 days.
So there's a lot of debate in the Bitcoin and Bcash or Bitcoin Cash space, you know, about which is more suited to be the primary coin. And with so many transactions in the pool, you know, waiting to be mined, and with the fees on Bitcoin so large, do you feel like the implementations of, you know, SegWit and Lightning, all these are going to solve the problems quickly enough for Bitcoin to hold its value?
Well, I actually have a 35-page report going out next week on Bitcoin Cash. I recommended Bitcoin Cash back in August to my subscribers. I think it's up 700% since then. I think there is room for both of these names in the top 20. And that's also what the market is telling you. Bitcoin is acting fine. The correction we had off the $20,000 mark was a healthy correction. Anyone that's been in the financial markets as long as I have doesn't like seeing parabolic moves. And we like these pullbacks that you have. You go 2 steps forward, 1 step back. That's a healthy market. As far as Bitcoin not being the cheapest or the fastest option, it doesn't concern me. This is a supply-demand imbalance story with Bitcoin. And we are on track, based on the rate of new accounts that are being opened in crypto, to have a situation in a couple of years where there are a few hundred million people around the world trying to get their hands on a few million Bitcoin. If there was an extraordinary supply of Bitcoin out there, then maybe I would be worried about the fact that they aren't the fastest or the cheapest. But because the supply is so limited, there is room for Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash to coexist.
One thing that's interesting right now to me, Ronnie, is there's this website called Blocktivity.info. And what Blocktivity does is it's an activity, they call itself an activity matrix, but what it does is it actually has some statistics about all the various different blockchains and their capacity. They have a capacity utilization index, which is interesting to watch because it shows the top 13 blockchains. And typically, whenever I look at it, Bitcoin has at least 100, maybe 200. I've seen it as high as 300,000 transactions sitting in the queue. Right now, I'm looking at it, and it's the first time I've ever seen Bitcoin at a 61% utilization rate. It is not at 100%. Actually, Ethereum is at 100% right now. It has 22,000 unconfirmed transactions in the queue. So maybe Bitcoin is solving some of those problems, or it just may be a nice Sunday afternoon here in the States and there's not as many transactions, but we're hitting right at about the average amount of transactions that it has on a daily basis at about 360,000 or so. The highest that it's ever had was 500,000 transactions in a day. Ethereum is sitting at 1.1 million transactions a day. Its record is almost 1.4 million transactions a day. So it's wild to watch how many transactions are happening on some of these different blockchains. And it shows how, in some cases, some of them are so full with transactions that they couldn't possibly, you know, fit any more in. And I know when I want to make a trade, Ronnie, I keep, you know, money in Bitcoin, but I also keep money in some of these other ones. And so if I want to go make a trade real quick, I'm not going to try to transfer Bitcoin because that's way too slow. I might want to send over Lumens or send over Ripple. So, or send over Litecoin or something. So maybe what are your strategies or your advice?
Well, I can give you some insight because people pay for my service. And I've been, you know, we opened up, we got around 700 new subscribers in the last month. And I can tell you right now, close to 30% of the payments that are coming through are not coming via PayPal or a credit debit card. They are coming in via cryptocurrency. And that 30% rate is probably double or triple what it was a couple of months ago. I can also tell you that we are now getting a higher percentage of payments coming in via Litecoin and Ethereum versus what we were getting in Bitcoin a couple of months ago. So people are now more aware of the fact that they can save a little bit of money by going through Ethereum and Litecoin versus Bitcoin. But still, Bitcoin will have its place here, and there is enough room in the arena for a few players. And that is what CoinMarketCap is telling you right now. So the trick is to be diversified. You don't want to have 40, 50, 60% of your portfolio in Bitcoin. Then you can have a little bit less. I still think Bitcoin will be at the top of the mountain 10 years from now, but there will be other players involved. The question is, how do you value them? I am a little bit concerned with the way some of these names in the top 50 have run up in the last few months. It's almost, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, and everything has been going up, even though not all of these names should have gone up. It's the opposite what you get during a capitulation. The babies get thrown out with the bathwater, and everything gets dumped, even the names that are undervalued.
Well, let's talk about one in particular. Because one of the other episodes that's been one of our most popular was just a little over a week ago with Brad Garlinghouse, the CEO of Ripple.com. And of course, Ripple, you know, over the past 6 weeks has shot up from, what, 25 cents to right now I'm looking at $3.38. Yeah. It's claimed the number two spot.
Yeah, 1,200%.
So did you call that one, Ronnie?
No, the problem is I've missed a lot of names because it takes me a few weeks to pick a weed out of all to pick a flower out of all the weeds in the space takes several weeks to find the name and to write a report. And you know, my reports are 20, 30 pages long. And what happened is back in, you know, October, November, December, a lot of names that I was looking at just ran away from me while I was doing my research. So I was able to get reports out on Monero, which jumped around 500% since I put the report out. And then I got, you know, 1,500% gains on Stellar and on Cardano. I put out two names last week. And those have both bounced by between 40 and 80% already. So the problem is this, you know, I can only get my hands around so many names. And the move in Ripple, I was completely blindsided by it because it was not moving for several months. And all of a sudden, it just broke out of that trading range that it was in between 20 and 30 cents. And it jumped 1,000% overnight. And there was no way I could have caught something like that because I was working on other reports at the time.
So what do you think of Ripple, Ronnie? It's a
fantastic altcoin to be in. I think it's jumped up quite a bit since I said the same with I was on Fox Business with Maria Bartiromo a few weeks ago, and I mentioned that I like this coin. But the question is, what is the valuation? What should the valuation be? And it's something I haven't really dug deep into. I have not written a report on it yet. I'm a lot more comfortable putting a price target on Bitcoin because I understand how to value that. And I elaborated on that and went into great detail on the, you know, episode number 60 of your Bad Crypto podcast 4 weeks ago. Getting my arms around what a fair price target should be for Ripple is going to require a bit of work on my end.
Ripple always, to me, has been interesting because it's you know, it was 25 cents and all right, it's doing stuff with these banks and okay. But I was like, my God, there's you know, 38 billion of them in circulation. So how is this $130 billion company right now? Is it, you know, and I'm looking at some of these and you just mentioned that, you know, it takes $2 billion to make it to the top 20. Actually, right now it takes $2 billion to make it to the top 30. And so I'm looking at these like, you know, if you look at startups, I mean, and Joel and I have worked in marketing and work in the technology space, and I've consulted with a lot of Silicon Valley companies and I've worked with a lot of them, and I that's my space. And I have never seen anything like this where here's brand new companies, in some cases haven't even created their technology yet. It's not fully baked. And yet here they are worth over, you know, $2 billion. So my question is, how long is this run going to last? Because here we are, we have all of these technologies here that are launching and they have PR and news, but maybe they're not fully baked yet. And then all these are rising up. So how long do we have until some of these start, you know, we got to throw them out with the bathwater because they're just not performing yet?
Well, I think this is probably, I put out a poll on Twitter, and 2/3 of the people felt that the altcoins would outperform Bitcoin going forward. But we've had quite a move in the altcoins recently at Bitcoin's expense. And I think when you see Bitcoin getting down to 35% market share, that's probably not a bad time to bet on Bitcoin going forward versus the field. I think you're going to have a reversion to the mean soon, which would get Bitcoin back to 40, 45, 50%. Market share, and then maybe you could put some money back into the altcoins again. As far as the number of coins in circulation, most people that are not in the financial markets the way I am make a terrible mistake, and they look at the share price or the coin price and the number of shares or coins outstanding, when in fact both of those figures are completely irrelevant. Completely irrelevant. It does not matter what the coin price is. It does not matter what the number of coins in circulation is. I reiterate, it does not matter. Both of those numbers on their own are insignificant. The only number that matters is the market valuation, which is the coin price times the number of coins in circulation. Okay? It doesn't matter if there are 1 billion coins in circulation and the coin is trading at a dollar, or if there are 10 billion coins in circulation and the coin is trading at a dime. Both have the same valuation. Okay, so people have to stop looking at coin prices. And, you know, sometimes people make these ridiculous comments on my Twitter feed. And I don't know, you know, I understand they're not professional the way I am, but they'll say Ripple is trading. Why is Ripple trading at $3? And Bitcoin is trading at $15,000. They don't understand that. And my answer to them is Ripple is actually trading at almost half of where Bitcoin is. And you have to look at the market valuation, not the coin price. The coin price is completely irrelevant.
So let's talk about one of these coins that you did do a report on and you called, which is Stellar Lumens, which has jumped up to the number 8 spot, hit as high as, I think, 90 cents or so, and now at about 69, with a supply approaching 18 billion, which is a little less than half of Ripple. Partnership with IBM. Do you still feel that Stellar is a great long-term altcoin?
Well, you know, this goes back to what I was saying a little while ago. The co-founder of Stellar was at my apartment recently. He visited me. His name is Britt Young, and he spells his name Y-O-N-G-E, which anybody from Toronto will recognize is the name of the main street there. He's actually related to the person who that street was named after. And I asked him, I said, you know, how do you value this coin? And he says, it's a problem. And he says, we don't have earnings, but neither does a block of gold, right? So he says these cryptocurrencies are being valued as commodities, and the price will go up and down based on consumer confidence and supply-demand dynamics. It had already made a little bit of a move before he came to visit me. And I think it's jumped another 1,000% since he was at my apartment. And he's probably scratching his head right now. And I would imagine he's a little bit surprised at the way this has taken off. And he probably would have difficulty justifying this valuation the same way I would. So as far as do you keep it in your portfolio at this elevated level, I would say probably it's worth having 1-2% of your money in this name. I still believe people should have an overweight in Bitcoin and Ethereum, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash. But once you get, you know, outside of that group, you don't want to have more than 1-2% of your money in any of those altcoins. Because as I said, we could have a nasty correction sometime between the end of this year in that space. Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. If you made 500 or 1,000% on these alt names, take 20% off the table. Get your money out of there that you originally put in. You can actually take out double what you put in and ride the rest. That would be house casino money. You ride 40, 50, 60, 70% of what remains, and you have nothing to lose.
So I just want to clarify something you said there. You said a correction in the alts towards the end of the year. Does that mean you feel like...
Between now and the end of the year.
Okay, so you feel like it's possible.
It can happen anytime between now and the end of the year.
Okay, so it's possible that this wild run could continue for some time, but at some point you definitely see a significant pullback.
I think so. I mean, look at the correction that we had in Bitcoin recently, 20% off of its high. You have to assume that in altcoins, the volatility will be double. So a 20% in Bitcoin would translate into a 40% correction in the altcoins. And that is what I would say. There's a 50-50 shot. You see that sometime in the next few months.
Somebody recently said that in one of their reports, which I don't know if they have any credibility or not, that they see this year most of the altcoins really crashing and many of them going into irrelevance, especially, you know, token-based coins. What are your thoughts on that? Not that they would go to nothing, but in long term, do you see most of these tokens surviving in their own ecosystem? Or is this just a, you know, a money grab pie in the sky?
I think I mentioned this to you in episode number 60 of the Bad Crypto podcast. I am very skeptical. I imagine 90-95% of the names in crypto are low quality and or pump and dump and or scam operations. It only costs $100,000 to pull off a scam operation in this industry, unfortunately. You need a $25,000 website. You need to pay a professor $25,000 under the table to sign off on your white paper. You need $25,000 to write the white paper. And then you need someone that speaks on behalf of the company that knows how to lie to the public. And there's your $100,000 investment. You turn the switch on and you become a multimillionaire overnight. There is no way on earth that there could be more than a couple of dozen legitimate names here. And there are more than 1,000 right now. So, yes, I would not be surprised if you saw a crash or a collapse in the altcoins. I think there's a lot of greed coming into this market, a lot of people buying names, and they have absolutely no idea what they're buying. And in many instances, they're just buying a pile of rubbish.
All right, my next question, Ronnie, is about, okay, since so on Thanksgiving, we hit $250 billion in market cap. That was 6.5 weeks ago. Now it's $820 billion dollars. That's an average of about $87 billion a week in growth. Now, if we were to factor out $87 billion a week out to the end of the year, we're sitting at $5 trillion by the end of this year, right? That's crazy. And I don't know if that's going to happen. You're talking multiple years. So what do you think we're seeing a slowdown?
I'm being conservative when I say $4 trillion a few years from now. Mm-hmm. I could see a situation arising where we hit $4 trillion in the next year or two. Right now, we have $200 trillion around the world tied up in stocks, cash, bonds, and gold. $200 trillion. That's $25,000 for every man, woman, and child. All four of those are overvalued: cash, stocks, bonds, and gold. If 2% of that $200 trillion ends up in crypto, there's your $4 trillion valuation. And I'm using a very conservative forecast here of 2%. How long will it take for us to hit the $4 trillion? I don't know. It could take 18 months. It could take 36 months. But I think that is where we are headed. And then the question is, what will Bitcoin's market share be of that $4 trillion? And my argument is that it will be close to 40%. Maybe even 50%.
Now that's interesting. Now, one thing, when you were talking a minute ago about sectors and how in the stock market, money flows from energy and then it might flow into some of these other sectors. Now, I have and I'm doing a keynote there at the Asian cruise there, the Coins Bank cruise that you so graciously introduced me to the group there. And I have a slide that I put together where I talk about how blockchain is disrupting all of these industries. So not just when we're talking about banking and cryptocurrencies and stocks, but I mean, we're talking corporate governance, sports management, prescription drugs, ride sharing, loyalty programs, supply chain, banking, obviously, wills and inheritance, you know, human resources, music and entertainment and political finance reform and cloud storage and money transfers and voting and networking and IoT and manufacturing and insurance and all these different areas that blockchain can impact. Now, would you view each one of those as its own different sector the way I've looked at it is that, you know, if you look at the stock market in each one of those different sectors, there's normally the top leading stock and there's like two or three that are underneath it and those do well, and four and below, they don't do anything. And I think that each one of these has its own little area, and maybe there's going to be a winner in each one of these industries. What do you think?
Well, yeah, there are going to be several dozen. More than several dozen. This is going to be a very valuable industry over the next few years. I told you last time we spoke, every 25 years, something comes along and changes the world. And, it, you know, whether it's the automobile or the airplane or the computers or internet, now we have the blockchain, and it's going to impact everything from logistics companies and apparel companies to casinos, banks, and everything in between. I just have a problem with people jumping on these coins because they see them moving on CoinMarketCap and everybody's doing the same thing, which means nobody's actually doing any research because they're afraid that the thing will move by the time they're done doing their research. So it almost becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy with these pump and dumps that we're seeing. As far as the cruise goes, yes, I look forward to seeing you next week, January 15 until January 19, the Coins Bank blockchain cruise. I will be co-headlining that cruise along with you, Travis, and John McAfee. The three of us do have a dinner reservation, but you will be the only one eating the main dish.
Because that's going to be what is John McAfee cooking that?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I won't be eating that.
You know, John actually just tweeted something interesting this morning. He said, ICO investors ignore writing quality of white papers. Developers are not good writers and many are foreign. Most scam ICOs I've seen look written by an Oxford English professor and scientifically prove a time machine product using only the blockchain and three paper clips.
I saw that tweet, and I was very impressed with that. And at first glance, I would not disagree with what he wrote there.
So just because something looks slick, this goes along the lines of what you said. You can throw $25,000, you know, at making a beautiful looking white paper. But didn't we see that? What was the one a couple months ago?
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that there are a lot of dishonest people on Wall Street. They will take 2% of your money every year for the next 20 years to quote unquote manage your portfolio, right? If the stock market doesn't move in the next 20 years, guess what? They took 40% of your money, mm-hmm. right? Now, when you go on Wall Street, those people look quite slick. If you're going to judge them on their physical appearance, they got their $2,000 suits with the cufflinks. Okay, I haven't put a suit and tie on in the last 15 years. I think maybe one time in 15 years, I've put a suit and a tie on. I walk into meetings with my Crocs, my jeans, and my T-shirt. That's how I walk into meetings. And smart people know that I am not a person you want to judge based on my physical appearance. And that is what John McAfee was getting at. All right. A lot of times you don't want to judge a book by its cover. And don't think just because someone writes a white paper that knocks your socks off, that means it is a good investment. Because many times, nothing could be further from the truth.
Wait a second. Did you say you wear Crocs?
I've been wearing Crocs for the last 10 years. I've been in 75 countries around the world, and that is the only shoe I will wear when I'm traveling.
That's great.
Well, there's an endorsement.
You can walk 20 miles in a pair of Crocs, and your feet will not even get tired.
It's amazing.
Well, and apparently Mr. Ronnie Moes is also a shoe wear advisor, not only a financial advisor, which, of course, it's a pleasure to have you, because neither Travis Wright nor I are financial advisors. We're just bad.
So I was looking at your Twitter there. So how did the roulette go for you there in New Zealand?
Oh, I decided to push it out until Wednesday.
Well, good luck with
that. So you have 2 more days to vote. But it looks like one of those trios of numbers has run away from the pack. So I think I'm going to go with those numbers.
Very nice. And if you win, are you donating that to Food for the Poor or something?
Everything that I make, they get a piece.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Well, Ronnie Moes, once again, thanks for coming on the show. Standpoint Research, STANDPOINT, standpointresearch.com is his site. You can learn about his services there, where he's got different reports he creates for his subscribers. And of course, he gives away so much for free, as you know, he sends out his emails and comes on to programs like this to talk about stuff. And those of you who have not yet donated to support Ronnie's cause, Food for the Poor, go to foodforthepoor.org/MOAS. It's his last name. And we will still give you Badcoin as we offered before. Is that okay, Travis? We still do Badcoin?
Yeah, we'll donate. We'll still give Badcoin up until our imposed deadline of January 18th.
Okay, so this week, if you give, send your receipt to badcryptopodcast@gmail.com. If you donate $25 or more, we'll give you 1 million Badcoin that are worthless. And if you donate $100 or more, we'll give you 2 million worthless bad coins that may forever be worthless or maybe not. I don't know. But there's that. So thanks a lot, Ronnie. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I look forward to spending some time with Travis in Singapore next week. And we will be in Thailand and Malaysia as well.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to that. Those are three countries I've actually never been to. And over this past, I think, 3-4 years, I've been to I've been over 30. So it's going to be fun checking off a couple more in some beautiful locations. Because right now, Ronnie, I'm in here in Kansas City. It is under 32 degrees Fahrenheit and raining and freezing ice. And so I prefer to see some nice sunsets and on a nice warm day there in Thailand. It's going to be amazing.
Excellent. Well, thanks again, Ronnie. We will catch up with you soon. I'm sure Travis will have some great photos to show from the cruise.
And we will pencil you in for next year's cruise, right, Joel?
Absolutely. Yes, please.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Once again, Mr. Ronnie Moas, bringing the goods to the Bad Crypto Podcast. Love talking to that guy right now there, Travis.
You know, absolutely. He's got a great sense of where the market is. He's got a great sense of historically what has happened in the stock market and how there's this parallel between crypto and the stock market. And he's been able to take his, leverage his expertise in that particular space in the crypto world. And he's getting a great following. And you know what? I'm pretty sure this is not the last time you're going to hear Mr. Ronnie Moas on the Bad Crypto Podcast. I mean, he's a friend of the show, and anytime there's some new stuff coming on, hopefully he'll come back on. I'm pretty sure he will. He seems to enjoy us.
And we enjoy him. And you know what else we enjoy? We enjoy you guys, and we really enjoy when one of you takes a moment to say thank you. It really, most people just move on with their day and do the next thing. But when you stop and you go to wherever you listen to us and you do a review, it really means a lot to us. We're up to 457 reviews as of right now on iTunes with a 5-star rating. There's something like 400 on Facebook with a 5-star rating. It's so encouraging, the feedback you give us. So please, wherever you listen, if you're able to review, then please do on that platform. If you're on the Facebook page, then you could review there at badco.in/badcrypto. Or is it just bad? Is it /Facebook? I don't even know. We have too many bad coin links.
Yeah. So it's badco.in/Facebook. That's the Facebook page. /mastermind. That is the mastermind group.
There you go. So, review us wherever you can. We appreciate that. And tell a friend. This show, we've put under $1,000 into marketing this show with Facebook ads. Very little. It's been word of mouth. It's you guys. This community is absolutely amazing. So tell a friend. Tell an enemy. If you tell an enemy, they'll become your friend because they'll thank you for listening to the Bad Crypto Podcast.
And I want to thank you guys. We both do. I mean, when Ronnie told us that the Bad Crypto community has donated between $30,000 and $40,000 to Food for the Poor and helped feed, hundreds of kids or something like this at this time. I mean, $200 feeds 4 kids for a whole year. And we have like $40,000 or something in there that we've helped out. That is amazing. So we will still give you Bad Coin for that up until the 18th. So make sure that you pay attention to that. That is foodforthepoor.org/Moas, MOAS, and send us the receipt of that. And we will hook you up with the Bad Coin like we've done previously, because that's just amazing. We are making real impact on real people when we do things like this. And we are very grateful that we have such a great community like you guys. So thank you.
Amen and amen. And to all of you, hope your New Year's off to a great start. We've got some great content. You're coming away. So stick around for the next episode, because it'll be in your ears before you know it. And until then, you know what to do. Stay bad.
Who's bad?
The Bad Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of Bitcoin and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.